I want to talk to you today in this episode about a dysfunctional condition, a way of thinking that few people talk about, and the very reason I created the name for that condition, dead-end thinking. Because the truth is, it's extremely dysfunctional, yet most people don't even know about it, and how it is actually the primary cause of most people's unhappiness and suffering. Hello folks, this is Ernest. Thank you for being here, where I send out my thoughts and observations to the entire world, usually every Monday and Friday. I'd like to start out by saying this message is for everyone, but especially young people, between let's say 16 to 30, who are most dramatically affected by this condition, but have the greatest chance of overcoming it. I'm not saying anyone over 30 can't dramatically change their way of thinking, but typically around 30 is when a person pretty much becomes set in their ways, and fundamental change in perception and worldview becomes much more difficult as we age. As the old saying goes, it's hard to train an old dog new tricks. So if you're a young person, or if you know a young person, please pass this episode along to them. It could be life-changing in a very good way. So getting back to the original. The vast number of people out there, whether they'll admit it or are even aware of it, are on autopilot, and depending on their age, have been so for many years. Now, being on autopilot through life via dead-end thinking is only one of several mechanisms designed to keep you exactly where you are, but it is proven to be one of the most effective. Now, just to clarify, when I say effective, that means that you and around 90 to 95% of us are allowed by circumstantial conditions only a certain amount of success, but that success can best be described as a lottery. Yes, there are a few big winners, but in order to have those big winners, there have to be a hell of a lot of losers, and the system, using one of its greatest weapons, dead-end thinking, is specifically designed to create a hell of a lot of losers. So what does one do? We're going to touch on that shortly. But the most important step right now is to get a much better understanding of dead-end thinking, what it is and what it does. Because until you know that, you're basically putting the cart before the horse. Now, a perfect example of one huge source of dead-end thinking is religion. And it really doesn't matter which particular version of the invisible man in the sky narrative it is. The end result is the same, a person being controlled via dead-end thinking. Let's say you're a religious person, and you've got a serious problem, such as trying to explain to your wife how she got crabs because you, in truth, got them by banging a truck stop gal. If you confide in a friend of your church, they, of course, will tell you to pray and probably say they will also pray for you. Same thing goes for your pastor or priest. Now, here's the thing. As far as effectiveness is concerned, getting your prayers answered, not to mention the embarrassing awkwardness of confiding your problems or sins to a fellow church member, pastor or priest, such as the one I just mentioned, you could try the following instead. Make some kind of little altar. It doesn't have to be fancy, because the deity you'll be praying to isn't petty like that. Once the altar is ready, go out and buy yourself a nice head of lettuce. It can also be cabbage, broccoli, or cucumbers, but I do typically suggest organic. If you can't afford that, you can alternatively use a condiment that you probably already have in your kitchen, such as a bottle of French's mustard or Heinz ketchup. Just keep it name brand. After all, you don't want to insult the gods by using store brand generic condiments. Place whatever offerings you're using on the altar and pray fervently. It must be sincere, preferably with much emotion. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you follow those instructions I just gave, the odds of you getting your prayers answered will be exactly the same as if you confided in your church-going friend, pastor, or priest, 50%. Half of the time they will, half of the time they won't. This also takes into account whatever mood your deities are in that day. If, for example, you're one of only a few asking your deity to take care of your crabs problem, you stand a much better chance than if you're, say, the 150th person with a crabs issue, in which case, you're probably shit out of luck. In the meantime, while your particular deity is thinking it over, for the sake of your health, not to mention your marriage, I would strongly suggest being a bit more pragmatic and proactive, and go to a local pharmacy and get some crab medication. No doctor, and no confession to a church friend, pastor, or priest. I can tell you, however, it's going to be much more difficult to explain the crabs to your wife. I'm afraid you're on your own with that one. My point here, of course, is you ultimately can't get important questions and problems solved through religion, any religion, because it's dead-end thinking. It's an anti-thinking, circular, closed loop. If from the admittedly silly example I gave earlier about confiding in a church friend, pastor, or priest, oh, what the hell, let's throw in a rabbi as well. Don't want to be accused of being non-inclusive, or the various items you put on your homemade altar, your prayers were answered. Great! God answered your prayers because he loves you. But if God didn't, well, and it's never because he doesn't love you. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers as quickly as we'd like. Or maybe somehow it's part of God's plan. Or the Lord works in mysterious ways. Or maybe this is all a bunch of delusional horseshit. Well, I hope you found this informative or at least entertaining. If you have any questions or just want to reach out to me, you can do so via my website, link in the description below. And please consider subscribing, as I believe it's something Jesus would do. Until next time, this is Ernest, and that's all I've got for today.